Well, good morning, everyone. The time has come and we want to begin, and we welcome you in the name of the Lord. It is good to be in the house of God again and to be with you today. And again, you're getting two for one today. At the last minute, they asked Pat to fill in for Jerry, so she's going to wing it here this morning and give us a little music along with her singing. Are there announcements that we need to make? We'll see some that are printed on the back of your bulletin. How about we begin with birthdays for August? I believe Lisa's working on the newsletter, and so that should be coming out or is out. I'm not sure if she's got it here today, but we want to just recognize any birthdays today, this month, in August. Anyone having a birthday?
My wife, but she's not here.
Linda, okay. Great. And Lottie? Wonderful. Travis, 24? Okay. Wonderful. Why don't we sing Happy Birthday? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Congratulations. We want to recognize that special occasion that God has given us life. Other announcements, yes?
Today being the first day of the month, there's a treat back there. It's songs and their nuts.
Okay, all right. Little treat there, pick up on your way out. Bob?
Don't forget your newsletters, too, back here in your mailbox.
Okay, so she did get them done, and they are out. Any others?
And just a word of joy, I want to thank Miss Pat again last week for her services and the fine message that she presented to us.
And also thanks to Maxine for recording that and getting that on the website. And so if anyone missed Pat's message and wants to hear that, it'll be on there for a while. You can just go to the website and click on sermons, and the last four or five sermons are there for you to find.
It's also there in the slider. I put the picture out there, and it's like the third or fourth slider picture. And if you just click on the picture, it'll start.
Click on the third slider, and it'll start for you.
Yeah, it's a picture of the park. Karen took, had on the bulletin, which is beautiful.
Yes, yeah. Wonderful. And so there'll be the beginning of the service, so and then you might be some, I think, empty space or something at the very beginning, but just hang in there and the sermon will come on. All right. Well, we want to begin our worship, and to do so, we'll have a prelude. Our call to worship for today comes from Psalms 34. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. As we come to worship, we want to join me in standing, and we're going to sing number 320. Number 320.
Thank you.
We want to take time to pray together, and before we do that, we want to hear what's your joy or concern that you'd like for us to share and to pray about. Yes.
I want to continue to keep Alan and his wife and family on the prayer list, and Ricky and Jenny on the prayer list.
Thank you. Others? Bob?
I want to continue. I was back in the back, but Steve Wolf, he's still not progressing as well as he'd like to. He's back surgery, so lift him up. And Jerry, he's not feeling good this morning. My wife isn't feeling good today. Keep them in your prayers. And also, little Gracie, she was supposed to be here with us today. She goes back tomorrow. And we miss her. And myself, please. Yeah. And this congregation as a whole, just lift us up. And thank you, Gracie, for your sincerity.
And I do have a note from Steve. He writes note here. It says, my friends at Monoxy Church, dear church family, thank you so much for the cards, phone calls, and the gift card, but most of all for all of your prayers. I appreciate each and every one of them. I hope to see everyone soon. May God continue to bless this church and each one of you. Steve. Danny? Continue prayers for Danny's mom. And
I think we need to continue to keep Wilton. I was talking to his wife a while ago, my cousin. Anything of her name?
Tam.
Anyhow, and I said that he's still having some issues and problems, and you know, I had somebody else in mind. They just don't stay in there anymore.
I know what you mean if I don't write it down. Any others?
Lord knows who they are.
That's right. Well, there's lots of names on our list, so we just pray God will bless each one. And so as we come to the Lord today in prayer, we invite you to either kneel or remain seated. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we pray together, and then we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. Dear God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity for this day. Sabbath, we've come to keep it, to remember you, to honor you in gathering together and not forsaking the assembling of being together. We thank you, Father, for your word, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we ask, Lord, that you might come and move in a mighty way and be present in this worship service. Help us to lift up the name of Christ and to praise your name. And we pray, Father, that you'd be with these loved ones that are on our hearts and minds today. We have sickness and ailments and those that wanted to be here but couldn't. And so we just ask, Lord, you'd be with Jerry and Linda. And pray that you would continue to keep our heads protection and blessings on Alan, meet the needs of his family, and Jen and Ricky, Lord. We pray for Steve and Faye. Lord, pray would ease some of his pain. We pray for traveling mercies for Gracie. Pray, Lord, you'd be with Bob. And Lord, we just ask that you would comfort Danny's mom and meet her needs at this time. And also for Wilton, Lord, and Tammy, Lord, we thank you for that family. And we just ask you would show yourself strong in results, Lord, tests and treatments, Lord, and procedures and medications, Lord, we pray that you might grant health and wholeness. Lord, there are others who need our thoughts and our prayers, Father, and many on our lists. And so, Lord, we just ask that you might continue to work in a mighty way. I thank you, Lord, for Joyce, bringing her through her heart surgery and allowing her to come home this week. I thank you, Lord, Father, for other friends and loved ones, Lord, they're going through difficult times. I pray for my cousin Randy, Lord, and ask that you would help him and his family as he comes to the end of his life. We just ask, Father, you might help our government, Lord. We want to remember to pray for our country and our leaders, as you've instructed us to do. Lord, would you surround them with wise people, with godly people? Would you help them, give them good counsel, to make many decisions that affect thousands of people. So, Lord, we just pray for wisdom, that they would do the right thing and that we could live lives that are peaceable. Lord, there are many people who are affected by natural disasters and fires and floods and storms and tornadoes. Lord, for those who have lost homes, we pray you would provide. For those, Lord, that are not sure what their next step is, Lord, we pray for guidance and direction. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our disaster work, and we pray for the teams that are going to Ohio and various places in our country to help to rebuild and to give hope to those who have lost so much. And so, Father, we pray you would bless the volunteers, bless the work that is done in your name. Lord, we think of those who are overseas, and we know many countries are struggling, not just because of COVID, but because of political or because of war, because of famine. Lord, there are so many places that are experiencing upheaval. And Lord, we pray for your peace to come. You are the Prince of Peace, and you are the peacemaker. And so, God, would you bring a greater sense of wholeness and peace into our world? And so, Lord, we pray, Maranatha, we pray, come, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the message this morning in the Sunday School hour. And we pray, Lord, you continue to bless ministries like David Jeremiah. Be with those that are sharing your word and truth. And we pray that you would bless them, but not just financially, because we know it costs a lot of money to put your word on the air and on the radio and TV. But Lord, you would just continue to open insights as they study your word, that you might share the things of God and help us to grow in grace and in knowledge. So Lord, we thank you for your many blessings to us this past week, for opportunity to work, for health, for family, for friends. Lord, we just have so many things that we can give you praise for. But we thank you, Lord, most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the source of life. And we ask that you might bless in the coming week. Help those that are not here, Lord. We pray you would move in a mighty way in our church, in our community, in our country, and in our world. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll join together in singing number 289.
Praising my Savior all the time.
Good words from Franny Crosby. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds would indeed be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. You are the source of life. And we pray, Lord, as we look into your word, that you might feed us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is your favorite type of bread or your favorite type of pastry? He said, the bread is the staple of life. And I'm sure there are lots of different tastes out there. There is the white bread and the brown bread and the whole wheat bread. There's lots of different kinds of bread like French and Italian, rye. There's lots of different pastries, and there's different shapes of bread. We have the baguette here, the long one, croissants, bagels, donuts, rolls, muffins, sticky buns, all kinds of things. What is your favorite? One of the things I look forward to in the summertime is whoopie pies. When I was a kid, my Aunt Evie used to make really good whoopie pies and bring them to the family reunion. And she got older in life and stopped bringing them. And then later, my cousin Nancy picked it up, and she would start bringing, still does today, and brings whoopie pies. They're not as good as Aunt Evie's. But, there's something there. But also, in my area up in Pennsylvania, there was lots of Amish people. And so you could stop at the market, and they always seemed to have whoopie pies there by the Amish. The place I usually find them now is at the Frederick Fair. You know, they usually have that Amish stand there, and the ladies sell the whoopie pies. And if you buy six, then they'll go whoopee. And so, one of my favorites, whoopie pies. One time when I was going back home to visit, my mom knew that I liked whoopie pies, and she had gone and got me a pack of whoopie pies that I could bring back to Maryland, and they didn't last too long. All kinds of breads and pastries, I love them. And, you know, homemade is usually the best. And bread has been a staple for generations. It is a central part for our human diet for centuries. And Jesus taught us in the prayer that we prayed, the Lord's Prayer, and he said to give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our bread. In fact, there's a daily devotional. Hopefully you're following a daily devotional. You have something that you read each day. And there's one entitled Our Daily Bread, which is a really good one. And so hopefully you're doing that. Most people in the world, however, have found that when they have bread, it is kind of the whole grain kind. Most breads in the world have bran still in them. Has a high fiber content, more so than white bread. It's been said that, you know, the white bread is more processed and bleached in order to make it white, and so the bran is oftentimes taken out and the fiber content is less. Some have even said that whiter the bread, sooner the dead. And so you might consider the type of bread that you eat and the kind of pastries that you enjoy. In fact, did you know that white bread kind of began back with the Babylonians and the Egyptians? They started to remove the bran from the bread to serve to the elite. You remember the story in the Old Testament about Daniel? He took a food test. And he purposed not to eat of the king's food. And so the king said, well, we'll put this to a test. And so I think it was about 10 days. Daniel and his friends only ate the kosher food, foods that were acceptable according to the Old Testament scriptures. And the other servants of the king ate the regular king's food. And at the end of that time, the king noticed that they were healthier and stronger and seemed to be, you know, more fit, and so Daniel was allowed to continue to eat his special diet. Later, the Romans made and served white bread, and for them, it was a symbol of being in a higher social status. For them, common slaves, which was most of the people, most of the population at that time, were slaves, and they had the brown bread, the bran with the bran in it, and oftentimes, the Romans kind of used this as a way of showing their social status. They were in a higher social class because they could afford white bread. In this country, everyone made homemade bread. That was part of just the living from the turn of the century. And it was only after the Industrial Revolution that store bread came into being. There's a mill down in Virginia. It's kind of famous, Marby's Mill. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's an old-time mill. But even around here, you know, Long Mill Road, there must have been a mill along here at some time, at one point in time. But local people would go to the mill, take their grain that they had raised, and have it milled, have it turned into flour, and come home and make their own bread. Some of you, maybe a few of you, will remember the novelty that it was to have store-bought bread. To be able to go to the store and buy a loaf of bread, that was kind of something special because everyone had homemade bread. And now it's totally reversed, right? You can get bread at the store anywhere. This loaf of bread was only 79 cents. I can't even think how farmers can afford to raise it for that little amount of money. But now the special thing is to have homemade bread. And so it's totally flopped from what it used to be. While physical bread is a necessity to sustain life, Jesus tells us in quoting in Deuteronomy 8:3, he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And so bread is a staple for physical life, and God's word is a staple for spiritual life. It is no wonder then why one of the names or the symbols that Jesus chooses for himself was the bread of life. There are actually seven I am statements about Jesus' deity in the Gospel of John. And you might remember when Moses was talking to God, God wanted him to go to Pharaoh to free the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage. And remember, they had gotten into bondage 400 years before because there was a famine. And so they went to Egypt because Egypt had grain. Remember, Joseph had stored the grain because there was going to be 7 years of famine. And so they went to get food. They went to get bread. They went to get grain. And eventually stayed in Egypt, began to multiply, and they multiplied so much that the Pharaoh was afraid that maybe the men would rise up and take over. And so they started killing the babies, and that led to the story of Moses being put on the River Nile. Later he grows up, and God sends him back to Pharaoh and says, you know, I want you to free my people. And so Moses is kind of a little bit befuddled. He's not sure what to do. And, well, what do I tell? Who do I tell the people who sent me? You know, what is your name? And God says, I am who I am. I am. Tell the people, tell the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And then here, Jesus comes along and he uses that exact same phrase, that exact same title for himself, indicating his deity. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the light of the world. He who comes to me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch he prunes so that it might bear more fruit. He who abides in me bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Today, I'd like for us to focus on just one of those titles, the bread of life. The bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You know, for the people that are we read about here in the scripture John's referring to, the crowds had come around Jesus. They were listening to him. He was sharing with them. And he fed 5,000 people. That's probably just the men in the group, not counting maybe the children and the women as well. So after this marvelous miracle, Jesus withdraws from the crowd, goes across the sea back to Capernaum, which was his hometown. And so the crowds are looking around, where's Jesus, where's Jesus? He's gone, well, maybe he went across the sea. And so they get into boats and they go across as well. And so they find him and they ask him about, you know, what is he doing there? And you know, he makes it very clear to them that they were looking for him for the wrong reasons. They got a free lunch, and they really missed the essence of the miracle because the taste of unlabored bread was in their mouths. In other words, they wanted free food. They wanted political deliverance. They wanted things given to them, and they kind of missed who he was. They had eaten and they were still not satisfied. They had unfulfilled physical and spiritual desires. Their motives were physical and worldly and oftentimes confused. Isn't that a little bit like our world today? Aren't people still very much confused? And even in the body of Christ today, many are still confused. They're seeking many things. Would you say that you're seeking Christ for the right reasons? Or are you seeking him for a blessing? Seeking him for a miracle? Seeking him for an answer to prayer? Of a healing of some kind? Instead of seeking him for himself. Paul said, to know Christ and to know him crucified. to know Christ, to seek Jesus simply for himself and not what you can get. The people were confused about the ultimate source of bread. And notice in the scripture here, and I'm not sure if you catch a conversation, if you read the rest of the chapter of 6, it goes into it a little bit further. But they said that it was Moses who had given the children of Israel the bread, the manna, in the wilderness. And Jesus points out and he highlights and he gives glory to God, for God is the one who really gave the bread. Jesus emphasized that it was really God who gave the manna each morning, and that the true bread is from God. It's from God in heaven. And so the one who's come down from heaven is the true bread of life. And so he's speaking spiritually here, and just so they're not confused, he makes it very plain as he can, as clear as he can. He says, I am the bread of life. I am. When the Jews heard that, they remembered what God told Moses. I am who I am. And you're claiming to be God. You're claiming to be God by saying, I am. I am the bread of life. Don't we sometimes get a little confused about our language? Don't we proudly say, well, I prayed and this happened. Or this happened. Instead of giving God the glory. It sounds like sometimes as if we twisted God's arm and he did what we wanted. I prayed and God did this. And so we want to remember to give God the proper glory. Give him the glory that's due his name. We might praise a TV preacher. We might praise an event that's touched us in some way. But really it would be better to say God moved in that prayer. Or maybe God used so-and-so to touch my heart. Or maybe to say God's word spoke to me powerfully in that sermon. Or God's spirit was felt powerfully in that song. To remember to give God the glory. It is really God who is doing it. It is our desire to give God the praise and the glory that's due his name. And so, what is our spiritual desire? Is it to seek Christ? Is it to seek to know him? Or is it to get a spiritual blessing, a physical blessing, even bread? Is he the bread of life for you? Are you in the Word of God each day? You know, we need God's manna daily. And just like we need physical bread, we need spiritual bread. Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. David said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. One of our favorite movies is It's a Wonderful Life. We watch that at Christmas time. But as you probably know the story, you know, George is given the opportunity to see life if he was never born. And he misses his kids and his family and his wife. And so finally at the end, he realizes all that, and Clarence the angel gives it back to him, and he runs into the house and the kids are there, and he grabs a hold of the kids and hugs them, and he says to his little daughter, oh, I just could eat you up. Maybe you've said that to a child or a grandchild. You know, you're so glad to see him, you're hugging and kissing him, and it's like, I could just eat you up. It's a term of endearment. It's a term of desire, showing our love for that person. I wonder if we love Jesus like that. Can we just eat him up? You know, to have that kind of desire and hunger to know him and to know him crucified, to love him as he loves us. We try to express that desire and love in the communion. It is in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, that we show our love for God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And so, are we starving ourselves sometimes by not being in God's word? Is Jesus your bread? Is Christ your daily bread? Or are you trying to substitute it for something else? Something else that you think is going to satisfy, but really doesn't. You know, regardless of our age, regardless of how much knowledge we have, we can still learn something, as David Jeremiah illustrated this morning. You know, as he was studying the scriptures, he realized, you know, that we really need to be tough-minded about it. Connecting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with growing in knowledge and grace. So are we structuring our lives around that which is eternal, which cannot be destroyed or taken away? You know, one of the characteristics of people who lived through the Great Depression was a tendency to hoard food. Maybe you knew someone like that. Maybe you had a grandparent who they had their cupboard stocked full, you know. Maybe the freezer was packed full, or the refrigerator had lots of food in it. You know, they remembered what it was like when there wasn't very much food. And so now they tended to overcompensate by having extra food on hand. Maybe they hoped to be able to share that as well. But it might be that there was a little bit of anxiety there, not having enough someday. We hoard, we hold on to, we cling to things that we think maybe, you know, maybe I'm going to use this one day, maybe I need this. Maybe I won't have enough someday. But to come to the realization that, you know, God's promised to meet our needs. He promised to meet our daily needs. And the manna had to be gathered that day. It couldn't be held over. If they tried to hold it over, which they did, it just turned to worms and rotted. So manna was provided by God daily. And he will provide for us as well. So a real sense of security comes when we just trust God. Trust his word to structure our lives around that which is eternal, that cannot be rust or stolen or destroyed. God's word is eternal. And the word of God became incarnate and dwelt among us. His name was Jesus. Jesus, our bread of life. And so how hungry are you? You know, only Christ really satisfies. Only Christ can give us really that sense of security to meet the desire that we really have in life and to meet our needs for the next life. Christ is that new manna from heaven. You know, we want to check to see, are we feeding on him? Are we in his word? I hope that you'll make God's word your choice, to include that in your meal. Many people will take time to pray over grace for the meal, thank God for the food. That's a wonderful thing to do. I once met a rabbi. He said, I don't put anything in my mouth without blessing God first. And so we want to remember to thank God for the food, but also as we're eating, to remember there is a spiritual food. There is a spiritual bread, and we need that as well. And so to be in Bible study, to be in Sunday school, to be in church, to be in the Word at home is so important, especially in the day in which we live. Jesus has the answer to our deepest needs. God will provide all that we need. And so as his children, we can trust him. We can love on Christ, and we can continue to follow him because he is the true bread from heaven. He is the person that we call Jesus. He is our Lord and our Savior. And so feed on him, the new manna from heaven, the bread of life. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the bread of life. We thank you for your Son and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that he is the true bread from heaven. And God, I just ask that you would forgive us when we desire or seek other things that can't really satisfy our spiritual hunger. Help us, Lord, to want you for the right reasons and to be fed daily by your word. So I pray that you would guard and protect your flock from wandering into pastures that are not safe to feed on. And we pray, Lord, that you would rain down your manna as you did the children of Israel in the wilderness, and as Jesus fed the 5,000 by Galilee. We ask that we might not only have daily physical bread for our bodies, but more importantly, spiritual bread for our souls. May we not be confused about the work of God. The work of God simply is to believe in you. And we thank you, Lord, for the things that we need, that we know that you will provide. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. And we receive that by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. We put our faith and trust in him as the true bread from heaven. Lord, as we say our grace for our meals and break bread together, let us remember with gratitude where our bread comes from, and who it is the giver of life. Like the chorus in the song goes, "Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more." Lord, this is our prayer today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close our service today by singing number 462. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, all.
Have a great week.